And as Mr. Bricks departs the studio, I welcome in for the making his second appearance on the show, Mr. Mark Graydon, the manager and soccer coordinator at Wolf's Beer Garden and the owner of the Old English Pub on Broadway. The Beer Garden, where you can check out all of your Euros 2012 action. Mark, how are you, man?
Yeah, very well, Joe. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. And before we get to the soccer stuff, I want to wish a happy jubilee to you, sir.
I know. She's a splendid lady. 60 years, and she's looking marvelous.
Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Con Air is on TV. Well, for you, let's say Stuart Downing and Lampard start tomorrow for England. So that's a 1. And 10 being William and Kate's balcony kiss, which I know you were jazzed about. Where on the scale of excited were you for the 1,000-boat flotilla?
See, I was probably Didier Drogba, last-minute goal, breaking the hearts of the Germans.
Oh, hang on one second. Drogba!
And there it is.
I got that queued up. Oh, it's fantastic. All right, we'll cut it off before I start singing.
There's not too many moments in the world that the Germans come second. It really doesn't happen. And as much as it surprises me, like, you grow up in England and you spend your entire time thinking, bloody Germans. The entire time they win penalty shootouts. Their team is annoyingly successful. And even when they've got an average team, they do really well. So for that one moment, there was a penalty shootout. They were leading. It was in Germany. And Chelsea won.
And then Chelsea won.
It's a marvelous moment.
So it was that level of excitement for you for the flotilla.
It really was. That's a 9. I mean, it's not a William and Kate kiss. I mean, that's a once in a lifetime. But it was a 9. It was a solid 9.
All right. Well, you talked about the Germans, and they seem to be. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here to say that they've been the most impressive team so far.
I think they're the only impressive team. They really are. They're the first team to win their opening two games. And Spain looked a little labored, but still dangerous.
Well, I mean, they're missing Villa and his stiletto spike sideburns.
Yep.
And Puyol with this Carlos Valderrama hair.
Yes.
And those two are a huge part for them, right?
Yeah, I think it's David Villa more than anybody, because if you take Fernando Torres and he's a lack of form at the moment, and you don't really have a recognized striker, you've basically got Barcelona without Lionel Messi. And that's a little bit toothless, and you're relying on people like Fabregas to really pull it off.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, actually. And annoyingly, the Germans have Mario Gomez. I mean, it's the least German-sounding name I've ever heard. And
I can't believe, every time I hear him play, I hear his name and go, he's not playing for Germany, right?
No.
He's not playing with the same guy who has Badstaba on his on their... those guys aren't, Gomez and Badstaba aren't on the same team, right?
Well, Mario Gomez, along with Cacau, he was also a young Brazilian who was snapped up by the Germans. But seriously, Mario Gomez has scored 3 goals in his opening 2 games. He's the player I criticize the most because he's the 6-yard poacher. The Germans love him, and he's impossibly handsome as well. And so everything about him just annoys me. And then we've got Wayne Rooney sitting on the sideline looking like a troll. I mean, he's got, if you gave him high, spiky blonde hair and stuck him on the front of your car, he would be the troll. And then you've got Mario Gomez, impossibly handsome, 6'4" Greek god, scoring 3 goals in the opening
without
2
hair
games.
Plugs. Mario, that's all real.
Mario Gomez doesn't need hair plugs.
That's what I'm saying.
He has to cut his hair 3 times a day. It grows so thick and long and wondrous, and the Germans love him.
You mentioned Rooney. I think Rooney took a step back when he got the hair plugs. That looks terrible.
I know
it's all real, but it looks like he looks so fake.
Anything to cover the face.
It's terrible.
I know. And he's English. It's disappointing.
Will England be? Can England challenge making it out of their group? And when they get Rooney back from suspension?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we looking at it at the moment, the sod's law, as we say in England, means we're probably finish first in our group, and Spain will finish second in their group, and we have to play the Spanish anyway, and then we lose. So I mean, it would just happen. But even if we scrape second place, the Italians, they look. Typical Italians, they're always going to just march on, but there's nothing scary about them. I don't really want to play the Spanish. And
even without Villa, that midfield is so dangerous for Spain.
Well, I mean,
they've got so many players. It's just...
They've got 5 midfielders who are better than any of the English midfielders. I mean, you've got Fabregas, David Silva, Iniesta, Xavi and Juan Mata. Juan Mata can't even get on the pitch.
They've got Mata on the bench, and he was a revelation for Chelsea this year.
But we do have Stuart Downing on the bench.
And
striking the fear into the hearts of the Spanish, Stuart Downing. And that's another thing. Roy Hodgson has picked seven Liverpool players. Liverpool finished seventh in the Premier League. They had a terrible season. And most of our lineup is Liverpudlian. It got Roy Hodgson fired.
I'm sorry, what was that? Most of your lineup is what?
Liverpudlian. So a guy from Liverpool would be referred to as a Liverpudlian.
Is that actually, did you make that up or is that real?
No, it's true.
That's real.
Yeah, if you're from Schenectady, you're a Schenectarian. And if you're a Liverpudlian, you're from Liverpool. It's true. True story.
That sounds like some sort of like, it sounds like you're bashing someone from Liverpool when you say that.
It's
got like a vulgar, it rolls off the tongue, but it's got like a vulgar tinge to it. Liverpudlian.
It makes you sound a little simple, doesn't it? I'm Liverpudlian. It's like, oh, bless him.
But I think Germany and Germany has looked the best.
Yep. And at the moment, and the major thing for the Germans is their biggest fear getting to the finals was the Netherlands. And the Netherlands are 0-2.
The Netherlands aren't going to make it out of the group. They're not good. Can you believe that with a draw, the Danes could make it out of the group of death?
Well, the thing is, that at the moment, if they draw with Germany in their last game, they're through. Now, Germany could let them draw, quite simply. And but you look at it, that no team in history of the Euros has lost the opening two games and gone through to the second round. Theoretically, they could beat Portugal 3-0. The Germans could stomp all over the Danes, and Netherlands would still get through. But I bet you $1 million that doesn't
happen. I don't see it happen. Germany's going to win their group. They're going to go on, and the Danes. That would be what do you think the odds you could have gotten on the Danes coming out of that group?
Oh, I mean, 50-1, and we're talking a 4-team race, 50-1. You would never have put it on the Danes. And to top it off, I wouldn't bet actually at all because I lost a bet yesterday. And unfortunately, I bet that the Dutch would beat the Germans. And a young German fella said, all right, if you lose, you have to change your profile picture to Arjen Robben. And if anyone's watching this, Arjen Robben is annoyingly weedy, bald-headed young man. And I lost the bet.
So that's a shame for you.
My profile picture is Arjen Robben.
Who do you think is a dark horse to come out to not only come out of their group, but to maybe make a run deep, you know, like the way Greece did a couple years ago? I've looked at Croatia possibly as being that kind of a team that could come.
Absolutely. I mean, the Croatians, if they can get a result today against the Italians, I mean, I think they're going to have to win it. They're going to have to beat the Italians today. But the Italians were so amped up for their opening match against the Spanish. It was like, we can't lose this. We can't lose this. I could see this being a bit of a slip-up for the Italians or Croatians going through. And both, any team in Group D, France, England, Sweden, no Ukraine, no one's really that scary at the moment. So the Croatians could theoretically could go through at the semis. Same with the Russians as well. If the Russians, no one was talking about them before. Mm-hmm. If they win their group, they're probably now going to face Denmark if it goes to form.
Yep.
They could beat Denmark.
Absolutely.
And then annoyingly, you've got Andre Arshavin, who's the little Ruski who used to sit on the bench, warm the bench for Arsenal and have the likes of Theo Walcott like strutting up and down midfield. Now he's one of the stars of the Euros and they could be in the semifinals against Germany. I could really see it being Russia, Germany, and on the other side, Croatia versus Spain. That could be two semifinal lineups.
That would be... I mean, for that kind of Germany and Spain, no surprise, but if Croatia and Russia are there, that would...
It's probably going to be England, though.
Absolutely.
And I say that unbiased. I think at the moment we're going to become an extremely annoying team, hard to score against. If we can defeat Sweden tomorrow, even a 1-0 win, I can see us topping the group.
I can't imagine what that defense would have been like with Cahill back there. With Terry and Cahill now playing an essential role for Chelsea the entire season and then coming in with England.
Yeah, I mean...
That's a shame.
Well, I don't know.
Break his jaw or something like that?
Did you see the incident? He got pushed into Joe Hart.
That's a shame.
I mean, he actually got pushed in a friendly in the back. It was almost schoolyard stuff. And he fell into the goalkeeper and broke his jaw 3 days before the Euros kicked off.
Joe Hart is that solid, huh?
He is.
That's impressive.
He's a Brixie at the back.
That's impressive. Oh, man. So, but everyone, you have to agree at this point, Germany is the favorite.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think, by the way, I feel bad for newspaper headline writers everywhere if Germany wins, specifically German headline writers, but just pretty much everywhere. Because, I mean, the Euros is housed in Poland and Ukraine. That's the host countries. So, if Germany goes on to win Euros 2012, your headlines, the headline possibilities are severely restricted. Like, you can't come out with a paper, Germany conquers Poland. Yee! Hang on. Back up. Pump your brakes. You know, Germany dominates Europe. Yee! Hang on. You have to put like a parenthetical statement next to it that says, just in soccer, sorry about all that business 70 years ago.
Yeah, you've got our bad. You've got half a population of like 80-year-olds running around, grabbing your rations, get your rations, the Germans are coming. And the worst thing about it is the Germans are doing it with a few Polish people on their sides anyway. They've got Podolski, they've got Closer, they're Polish people, and they're winning the Euros again. I can see it. But it gets even worse, actually, mate, because imagine being an Englishman running a German bar in front of all these giddy Germans, and you have to... I met...
That's tough for you.
No, but this is a true story. There's obviously a first-generation German and who spoke wonderful English again, as they all do. Very frustrating. Yeah, we all speak two languages, okay. So he's sitting in front of me, and I said, how do you think the Germans are going to do? And I just meant against Portugal in the opening game. And he said, I think we will win. And I went, no, not just this game, mate. I mean the whole tournament. And he said, yes, I think we will win. And that was it. It was so straight-faced. There was no hint of a joke, no sarcasm.
I'm sorry.
We will win.
Were you talking to the blonde dude from Die Hard?
It was Hans Gruber. And
not that guy. The dude who shows up at the end with the friggin' gun and Winslow guns him down. Is,
yeah.
Is that who you were talking to? We will win.
We will win. And he did. And then I said to him, but how can you be so confident? He said... We always do good. And that was it. There was nothing. I was like, I had no comeback. And he said, we always make the semifinals. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. It's so true. It's so true. They always do well. And I think the reason being is because they're the only one left at the moment who are in a really dominant league, one of the biggest leagues in Europe. And half their team is made up of Bayern Munich players.
Mm-hmm.
They all play together. There's all this solidarity. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is coming from, like you look at Spain at the moment, they're made up of Barcelona players. They're made up of Real Madrid players who just go at each other's throats all season. Then they're expected to come together and have some kind of unity for Spain. For England, half of our team's made up of Liverpool players. No wonder we're struggling. Liverpudlians. And then you look around the leagues, the France League, all the French players play for a number of different clubs around there.
Yep.
And the Italian players...
They're scattered. Yeah,
yeah, they're scattered around the Italian League. But for the Germans, you've got so... Müller, Gomez,
Müller,
Schweinsteiger, Lahm, Manuel Neuer... I think you've got six or seven starters for Bayern Munich in the Germany lineup.
Müller, by the way, I still hear his name and think like that sounds like a German insurance company. Like I picture like a commercial with like a really like buttoned up looking dude standing in front of a family of fours. You can depend on Thomas Müller, except in German. So it's like Ich liebe dich so zu dein, Thomas Müller.
They seem so angry all the time.
It's like, all right, I'm classically trained singer, but you now know that audience. Like, and I've studied a little German. I've sang it. There are two settings: singing and irate, and that's it. If you're speaking German, you're either singing it or you're angry about something.
And the Germans are normally singing angry. I wonder what that sounds like.
I don't want to know. You might find out if Germany wins at the beer garden. Oh, I wanted to ask you this. Because I caught the first Portugal game. Well, I caught all the Portugal games. And they do a close-up on Ronaldo as he's walking out. And he's got, like, the tightest do I've ever... Like, you can tell half of his morning was spent doing his hair. Are we for or against the gelled-up hair ahead of a match?
Right. See, I think it's almost... I mean, this is coming from a guy with a shaved head and receding hairline. I think it's actually acceptable to do your hair before you go out onto the pitch. I think that's okay. I mean, you know, it's one for the ladies, gets them in there. They love that. So, yes. And especially for Ronaldo. I mean, people watch him. They just love him.
All right, if that's the case, then I get to call you a slacker if at the end of the game your hairpiece is intact. If that hair hasn't moved at the end of 90 minutes, I get to call you lazy.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think that's why Ronaldo doesn't often like to head the ball. I mean, he's constantly thinking of his image. But the worst thing, and we heard this, we heard at halftime that Ronaldo has a hairdresser who comes in.
Are you serious?
This is what I was going to tell you this the other day. They actually fix his hair up at halftime for him to go back out. No way. Your head should not be in your hair. And at the moment, I think, could you imagine him in the Manchester United dressing room? You've got Wayne Rooney there. He's like probably chewing on a chicken leg. And you've got Ronaldo next to him. He's like, sir, can you just puff my back? And he's like, he's fluffing up the back of his hair. Wayne Rooney's like, I don't know, he's got about 17 hair follicles left because this was in like 2006, 2007.
This is what you need the Florent Malouda approach, which is to cut it really short but carve some sort of sweet design into your head. So that way your hair is done. It's going to look fly as soon as you step on the field, but it's not going to move.
Yeah, but
you just got to carve something in there.
Yeah, but if you've got that crazy, crazy hair, you need to kind of produce on the pitch. And Florent Malouda does not produce on the
pitch.
That's
a fair point.
So you've got like kind of like 9 out of 10 hair, 2 out of 12. 2 out of 12? 2 out of 10. 2 out of 10 performance on the pitch. At least Ronaldo goes out there and shows it.
All right, I can see that. It's like I used to play pickup, and I was in looking for new shoes in some store, and somebody was helping me brought out like these neon green shoes. And they're like, what about these? I'm like, I'm not nearly good enough.
Absolutely.
I need like something plain white because I suck. If I get really good, then I can wear the neon shoes.
And you always get that person, don't you? Where you get somebody who's like kitted out to the max.
Yeah.
And he's terrible. Terrible. And I imagine over here, you'd probably get people who've got like the latest Air Jordans in the 90s and they go out there. You can't wear Air Jordans. You're 5'10".
He looks like Woody Harrelson from White Man Can't Jump and then plays like he should.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So, Euros 2012 underway. There have been some really good games so far. I loved Sweden-Ukraine. I thought that was a great game.
Yep.
And there have been a couple others. It continues today. You can catch it all at Wolf's Beer Garden. We're going to pause it there. We're going to come back. An outrageous claim just for Mark. You got to hear. It's going to be fun. Come back.